preparation that David's put into this, Lord, may he bring a word from you that's in season that will bless our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us, and build us up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I've been suffering with a throat for weeks now, and it's almost impossible not to worship and to refrain from using your voice in when we gather. So I hope I'm going to last the morning. But anyway, if you'd like to turn with me with Mark chapter 5. We've been going through the book of Mark, bit by bit. We've now got midway through chapter 5, verse 21. Now, these first few verses will be returned to. I think Omar Dachi's preaching on it next week about Jairus' daughter, but I'm including them in this passage because I want us to see that even though Jesus was heading off to do something else, that didn't stop him interacting with the lady of the verses that we're going to speak to. So, Mark 21, we're going to read through to verse 34. And the heading for my sermon today is "The Unclean Made Clean." And we'll see this later on. All right, verse 21, chapter 5 of Mark. "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live.' And he went with him. And a crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" Some of us may have read this, it's been around a while. "From the Inside Out, A Grace-Filled Life" by Mike Betts. And on the picture of it is a cup, dirty on the outside, but clean on the inside. I wanted to use that image this morning because we're looking at an image here of a woman who under the law was considered dirty, unclean, all over. But that is a brilliant book. I was speaking to someone this week who read it for the first time, and they told me, people need to know that. Need to know that. It's all about grace. So it's Mike Betts, who's the apostolic leader of our group of churches. So, I felt a bit out of my comfort zone when I was looking at this passage to start with, and I thought, I don't want to certainly talking about women, talking about the law or anything, but there's a real message in here, as I've already mentioned, a message of grace. Everybody loves a free gift, don't they? If I was here giving out free gifts, you'd grasp it. Yeah. So I want to start off here. If you get nothing from what I'm saying this morning, I just want you to get this part. Isaiah 42, verse 6. Isaiah is receiving prophetic words from God referring to the coming Messiah. It says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. So that's all those centuries before, foretelling of the coming of Jesus. So the covenant, he is the covenant. So he's not a covenant of words in a scroll like the law, or the covenant written, but he's a person. So for this woman in this story this morning, the gift of God is not the words in the law, because when you look through the Bible, you know that the law condemns. No one but Jesus could fulfill the law. He didn't replace the law, he fulfilled it. That's the important thing to remember. He was the only one who could fulfill the law because he was the sinless Son of God. Sinless. Okay. So the gift of God to this woman in this story is the very person of Jesus, that new covenant. So what we need to look a little bit at the law. Why was she considered unclean? In Leviticus 15, verse 25, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she should continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. You know, in that passage, she'd been suffering for 12 years. I don't know what sort of affliction it was, but she'd had a discharge of blood for 12 years. So under the law, she was unable to enter the temple. She was unable to enter in anything to do with worshipping God. It seems a bit unfair, doesn't it? When you look at that, this is the law that say none of us can fulfill the law. And so many of us today are trying to live out aspects of the law. So I told you about the book there. It's about grace. So she's unable to enter the temple. Anything she touched under the law became unclean. So why? Leviticus 15 goes on in verse 31. Thus you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. So it brings us to the point that the tabernacle, then later on the temple, is where the presence of God abided amongst the people. And we have to remember God is a holy God. We cannot come into his presence unclean, bearing our sin. This is why there is such an emphasis on blood. This is why this story of this woman was so crucial to the whole message of a holy God. That's why emphasis is on blood. We understand that from Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That is why this morning we've just broken bread. We've taken the juice. Because that was the ultimate shedding of blood. Christ died on the cross for us. The once and only for, sacrifice, that Lamb of God. When we see earlier in Genesis, it says about the laws about eating foods with the blood, because life is in the blood. I can stand here as a perfectly functioning human being, but if you drain me of blood, everything else may be still there, but I'd be dead, because my life is in my blood. The heart pumps it round, feeds the brain, everything else. So blood is seen as a sacred thing, and it's considered precious. That was why there was so much sacrifice in the temple and such like, to bring people, allow people to come to God. So it wasn't to be cheapened with uncleanness. So we look at it as unfair, you know, as we say, we are looking at a holy God. So let's look at this woman then. 12 years of suffering. She was desperate. It says she'd spent all she had on doctors and she hadn't got any better. In fact, she was getting worse. So you could say that she'd come to an end of herself. She was desperate. I just want to make a slight there. We can be desperate in many things, can't we? We can come to Jesus. This is what she did. She knew where she had to go and come to Jesus. But in our desperation, that can lead us down many distraction paths. So there's a warning there. You know, how desperate you are in some situations in life, that desperation can lead to a control in your life. We need to bring to Jesus everything that is causing us to be desperate, or anything that is causing us to lose our peace. We'll come to that at the end of this passage. So just take it as a word of warning there. Yes, you can be desperate. Desperation can lead to frustration. Frustration can lead to all sorts of negative thoughts, negative channels. That's why it's good to worship sometimes. No matter what is going on in your life, it's good to worship, because it focuses on Jesus, focuses on God. So let's carry on through this passage. Verse 27. She had heard the reports of Jesus. Now, when we look through the gospel messages, not everything you hear written, the reports of Jesus, were good, were they? You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees with their stories. And so what had she been hearing? She'd heard the reports of Jesus. What about us? What stories have you been hearing about Jesus? More importantly, what stories of Jesus have people been hearing from us? People share testimonies, you know, how they've been able to share Jesus with people. So are people hearing about Jesus from us? And are we hearing good reports of Jesus, what he's been doing in people's lives? It's good to share. It's good to encourage one another. So she'd heard reports of Jesus. Some of them were probably good, some of them probably bad, some of them true, some of them definitely false if she'd overheard any of the Pharisees. You've been barred from the temple. So what teaching was she receiving? If she couldn't go into the temple, she was relying on almost second-hand things from other people. This is why we need to be careful what we are taking on board. There's a lot of information out there, the internet, books, and that. But how does it shape up to what's written in here? She could have been led astray, but she knew that Jesus was the one to go to. She'd been barred from the temple. That brings back the point. It seemed to be unfair. But for us, living in this time of grace, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him and called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are a holy people, a holy nation, people chosen for him. That's why it is a privilege to be set apart by God and to be part of his church. Church is God's plan for his people to be together. So if you're not regularly going to church, if you've dropped out for whatever reason, what teaching are you receiving? What are you put into your heart, putting into practice? This poor lady had no access to the formal teaching of her time. She was deemed unclean. So it's a privilege to be part of God's people, part of God's church. Maybe not perfect in your eyes. But as I've always said to Peter, when you find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll spoil it. Verse 28. This may have been some of the teaching or misunderstanding, if you like. "If I touch even his garments." I looked at that and I thought, where did that come from? We saw at the beginning, Jairus came and fell at Jesus' feet and gave him honor. She was quite happy just to come and touch the garments. I mulled that over for quite a while. I even resorted to, because I'm no Greek or Hebrew scholar, so don't. I looked at an interlinear Bible at that verse and found an interesting point that the word they used for garment, with a Hebrew word, could mean many things: wing, edge, extremity, or corner. Interestingly enough, I found at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi 4 verse 2, talks about the glorious day of the Lord. It's talk about the foretelling of the Messiah. And interestingly, at the end of Malachi, there was about 500 years of silence, and then we get into the Gospels, the coming of Jesus. But Malachi 4 verse 2 says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." Is that where she probably got misunderstanding, misinterpretation? So it's talking about the great day of the Lord and the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. So this woman, she may have been unclear in her faith, but she knew Jesus was the person that she had to go to. I like the next bit, because you almost have the pencil sharpens out, sharpen the old elbows. She was off through the crowd. She wasn't going to be separated by crowds. Probably in this country, we'd have queued politely, waiting our turn. But mind you, the crowd had gone on. So she was desperate. She was coming to Jesus, and nothing was going to stop her. So he touches his garments. Jesus knew power had gone out of him. But touching Jesus ended up in a different result. The contamination of this world, we call sin, had no effect on Jesus. He was the sinless Lamb of God, a sacrifice for this world. So this unclean woman who just barged through all these people, and everyone she'd have touched would have made them ceremonial unclean. She touched Jesus. Did she make Jesus unclean? No. Because sin had no hold on Jesus. He was the perfect Son of God. So it was swapped around. The unclean woman was made clean because she came to Jesus, the only place she could have been made clean. In the Old Testament, God's presence was in the tabernacle, then later in the temple. In the New Testament, that's what we say, God's presence dwelt among men in the body, life of Jesus. So let's bring this up to today. Jesus said some very strange words before he ascended to heaven. He said, "It is good that I go." I bet that went down well with the disciples. "It's good that I go because the Father will send." We know it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because if Jesus stood amongst us today, in the physical form of Jesus, other countries would be missing out, wouldn't they? In the time of the Gospels, he was physically restrained to the location he was in. He spoke to 5,000, fed 5,000, 4,000, spent. But what about the rest of them? And that is the important thing. Today, Jesus dwells with us through the power, the presence of his Holy Spirit. Titus 3 verses 4 to 7. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That was wonderful words. And that, I opened up this passage with that, talking about the gift. And Jesus is the gift to us, the free gift from God. All we need to do is accept him as Lord and Savior, put our trust in him. Why? Because of what he did on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us. This is why this whole passage is so focused on blood, because it comes down to that point on that cross, the shedding of blood, the precious lifeblood of Christ, so that we may live. When we turn to him and say, "Thank you, Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior." That is the gift to us. And from that point onwards, when Jesus died and then rose from the dead, he fulfilled the law. So we are no longer under the law. It's aspects of the law. I'm still uncomfortable. I don't like going into a shop on a Sabbath. That's me still working things. I'm under grace. God's riches poured out for me, for you, at Christ's expense. He did on the cross. So what about this woman? In my final point then, he said, that verse 34, there's three things in that passage, in that verse. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Even this morning, God said, I missed the point completely. He said to her, daughter, it's not because she purely was a woman, because he could have, he says to us, son, daughter, it's a positional thing. What does it mean? It means we are part now of his family, his kingdom. The Gospels, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God so much, and we are now part of his family. We are sons and daughters of him. We are accepted through that. So, daughter, your faith has made you well. She may have had a flawed faith, but she knew Jesus was the one she had to come to. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. We know as soon as she touched Jesus, she was healed. We pray for people for healing. We believe in not doing a healing work. We don't understand the whys and when it doesn't happen in our eyes sometimes, but we come and we pray for people. Go in peace. We often focus on the healing at that point, but it's such an important thing as well. Go in peace. I find sometimes we know Jesus is the person that we come to. He was the one that gives us peace. But sometimes there's an inner battle, isn't there, sometimes? And I have to say that sometimes, my faith, church, and that is sometimes the very thing that it causes me to churn inside. And that's before the rest of life gets at me. And that's why it's so important we keep coming to Jesus. In our worship this morning, just to be in his presence, to let him often sort of talk about that still small voice inside. That's the power of that passage in Titus, the Holy Spirit stirring up. It's times when I say, Lord, I'm not at peace with this. Why? You know. I don't know, because I'm churning around trying to find an answer to this. And until I'm still and listening, sometimes I don't get that clarity. I don't get that peace. So it's important we just bring it to Jesus. If you're right, just stand. I'm just going to, because I think it's important. I just want to spend a few moments in being still. Just let God, to the power of his spirit, just come and minister to us. There's those three things in that last verse. You may have problems with your self-worth before God. Who am I in God? Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just touch hearts in relation to positional awareness, Lord, of who we are in you. Lord, there may be people here this morning who just do not feel worthy. They're still trying to earn a way into your presence. But Lord, will you just release your overwhelming grace into those hearts this morning? Lord, I'm just aware that people may be churning inside. They're not at peace. Even in my own heart, Lord, you know I've got things churning away. So, Lord, again, we say just, Lord, send your Spirit now. Fill us afresh. Calm our raging seas within us, Lord. We just say, Lord, we just need to hear those words from you. Be at peace. Be at peace. Likewise, Lord, let us pray for your healing touch. This woman was suffering for 12 years. Touch from you, Lord, and she was healed. So all we just ask this morning, you just send your power. If you've got a health, a healing issue, just place your hand on the area and just say, Lord, I look to you, Lord. I come to you. I just want to touch from you, Lord. I just want to touch you. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we just know that all this is because of the shedding of blood. Your Lord, your blood, Lord. So Lord, let us pray that you just help us. Help us to give good reports to others of you, what you've done in our lives, testimonies, Lord. Lord, let us pray that we won't take your sacrifice, your shedding of blood, and cheapen it by living unworthily, Lord, of that sacrifice. Lord, keep us in the power and the strength of your grace. But Lord, we just thank you. And we just say, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, we know you are as our sons and daughters, that we are accepted into your presence. So Lord, as we live out our lives and we do make errors, Lord, we're not controlled by sin, but Lord, we just know that we can come and bring that to you. Receive that touch for that healing on the confession of our faith in you and the confession of our sins, Lord. So we just thank you. Amen. Amen. just